I would like to take a quick moment before we start and thank you all kindly for supporting my work. Patreon, donations on PayPal, signing up for membership area or newsletters, all of it really, really helps me a lot in my work of spreading this type of information, which I believe is crucial at this point in history. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Any donations, big or small, is so very welcome.
Welcome to Light on Conspiracies, the place where truth and love transcend the darkness. Your host, Peace Award-winning researcher Ole Damagod. To listen to this full interview, just go to lightonconspiracies.com and subscribe.
I'm here today with my very good friend Max Egan, who I've had the pleasure of having as a guest for a few days in my house. And he's come up, first of all, I don't think Max needs so much of an introduction, but I will ask him to just give a general background to start with. But more than that, over the days that we have spent together, some mind-blowing things have come forward about what is called 5G and the new wireless system or Wi-Fi system, but also something that is called Evil Limited. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to spend the first hour talking about or learning about 5G. And then in the second hour, I will ask Max to go into what is called Evil and Evil Limited. So welcome to the show, Max.
Hey, Ollie, nice to be on here, brother. Nice to come and talk to you. Good to see you've got a podcast happening. It's really good that you're getting information out. I love your work, so thanks for asking me on. Pleased to be here.
No, my absolute pleasure, and I feel extremely excited about this podcast because it gives me the opportunity to learn from so many different people and sources from around the globe. So please, Max, just for people who don't know you, could you just give a general background and then let's get into the 5G one?
Okay, well, my name is Max Egan. I've got a website called thecrowhouse.com. I do a radio show called Surviving the Matrix. I've been sort of on this trail for a very long time. I woke up when I was very, very young. And I kind of lived on the outside of society for a long time as a musician, trying to figure out why the world was so messed up. And of course, that kind of led into being an activist as the way it does. You know, we sort of go down this path because there's a need to do so. But I've got everything on thecrowhouse.com. There's hundreds of hours of radio shows there. There's six films that I've made. I'm working on another two films at the moment, one about the Amazon and one about this whole grid that's being rolled out. And it's been really interesting. It's been a really interesting road, and it's led to some very, very strange places. But it's sort of come into my face now, this whole 5G thing and this whole smart grid that's being rolled out. And what this really represents, you know, it's not just about communication. It's about weaponizing the airwaves, and it's about basically digital control of everything. And it's a very, very sinister thing that's unfolding. And you can see it everywhere you look. If you go and search for it on the internet and in websites, you can find all sorts of reference to this. But underlying it is a very, very sinister plan. So that's kind of where I am at the moment, where my research has been leading me. And it's a very important thing, and I think it's something that people really need to pay attention to. It's something that's coming out underneath everything else that people simply aren't noticing. And it's extremely important that people pay attention to the direction we're going and how this is all being implemented.
As many of you might know, my normal area of research are false flag and top political assassinations. But it's when you look at that, even though it's very important to understand these things so that we can see the methods that are being used against us, I think it's extremely important that we also see these operations as a distraction away from the real plan, the real agenda of what they're trying to accomplish. And I believe Max is on to something very, very important here with this 5G. So please tell us the background. I'm not very knowledgeable about 1G, 2G, 3G and whatever. So could you tell us the steps that have brought us into this 5G area?
Okay, well, like, through all the G, this is generation. We've got you know, 1G, 2G, 3G, 4G. This is, you know, first generation, second generation, third generation, fourth generation communications. And this has all been piggybacked off the analog system. It became digital, and we've just found better ways of evolving this into a more efficient system, right up to the 4G network that we're basically running now. But now comes the 5G network, and the 5G network is a whole new ballgame. It's a whole new form of communication. All of the stuff up to that point has been further increasing the higher bandwidth all the time, you know, 1 gigahertz, 2 gigahertz, 3 gigahertz, 4 gigahertz. Once we're getting up to 5G, we're getting up to 1 millimeter waves, and these are waves that have been traditionally used for military applications. 5G is what is used for active denial systems. It's what's used for microwave cannons. It does bring about a very, very effective and very fast form of communication, but it also can be used for weapons systems. So all of these 5G towers and all these 5G boxes that have been put around the place can also be used to disable people and can be used for every military application you can think of. And it's also about the Internet of Things, about everything talking to everything else, smart devices. And you're talking about microchips in everything, microchips in pill bottles to plant waterers. Everything you can think of will have an IP address and will be hooked up, and it'll all become digital. And once it gets to that point, it's a real control system. But not only is it a control system and a surveillance system, it's also a weapons system. You know, 5G can penetrate walls. It can see through walls. It can see what you're carrying. You know, you may be carrying a weapon. It can tell if you're carrying a weapon. It can disable you with a millimeter wave. These millimeter waves that they're putting out from these 5G boxes can be aimed and targeted. They can be amplified. So they can target an individual person. They can amplify the wave. They can disable that person with essentially a microwave device, you know, the same as you see in these microwave cannons. These are all based on 5G technology. So this is underlying the whole thing. You know, it's really a surveillance system, a communication system whereby everything is smart, and they're talking everything. Like I said, pill bottles to plant waters, smart cars, smart infrastructure. They're talking about putting microchips along the road so that the cars are all self-driving, which, of course, is why they are having these terror attacks that you're reporting on when they're using cars all the time to run down people, because, of course, we don't want people driving cars because terrorists might get hold of cars, so the cars have to become smart. It all leads to the same thing, and it's all leading towards this smart grid, and it's a control grid and a surveillance grid and a weapons system underlying it. That's the thing. You know, it isn't just about communication, about keeping tabs and surveillance on everybody. It's about being able to disable you if you dissent as well. This is very, very insidious, this whole smart G system. And not only that, it's going to affect everything. I mean, it affects all life. It affects all living things that come into range of these frequencies. So it affects plant life, it affects animal life. You'll find it changes the cell structure in food. So, you know, if you're someone out there who likes organic food, well, you can forget about organic food once the 5G grid comes in place, because it's going to change the cell structure of all this food as well. There's a really, really deep underlying plan here, and it's a very, very dark plan. And this is what's being rolled out, and it's coming out underneath everything, and people simply aren't noticing it. And I'm starting to believe, and, you know, my research has been leading me down this path for a long time towards this transhumanist thing, and where's it coming from, and what's it doing? And you look at the world now, it's a mishmash. It's like a washing machine. There's so much stuff going on. We've got false flags all over the place, buildings burning down. We got war after war after war, you know, threats coming from everywhere. North Korea, nuclear war with North Korea, like, that's going to happen. You know, all this stuff going on in Syria, threats with Iran, Russia, everybody's getting involved in it. It's happening like snowballing. So many things to distract us. Underneath the whole thing is this smart grid being rolled out. Underneath this whole thing is the tech that we are all using. We are all falling into this smart system, and we're being led into it without really looking where it's going. And when you follow it through to its natural conclusion, it's really, really not a good place. And it's getting to a point where so many people are involved in so much research now and so many rabbit holes that they're simply not paying attention to how they're getting this information, where it's coming from, and this whole smart grid. And pretty soon when this comes online and you look at the roadmap even by the United States are putting out white papers, and their roadmap is around about 2025 to 2030. The roadmap for 5G to get rolled out is 2022. And behind that, you've got this AI grid, which is set to roll out by about 2025. So we've got a very short window. So very soon, people are going to be looking up from their research and wondering how they missed this and how they suddenly found themselves living in this smart prison. And really, that's where it's going, Ollie. And it's quite scary that this is happening.
You know, often I say, or I think when I see things, is like nowadays, at this point in history, it's like everything is upside down. And they label things in the exact opposite way of what they really are. So anything that it's for human health or something like that, when you really look into it, it's not. And hospitals are there to keep you sick, and the law is there to control you, not to help you. Everything is just upside down. And this is also, I think, this thing with smart items. They're called smart, but I tell you, that is just a fancy word of luring you into believing that it's there for your benefit and so on, when it's actually the exact opposite. So where did these smart items come from? Where was the, what's the background of the introduction of these? It's only a few years ago, isn't it?
Well, it is, you know, that's the question. Where is it coming from? And that's something we can get into later if you want, but where it's coming from, and this is the thing, you know, we vote all these leaders in, we vote people into power, we vote people in, vote people out, but underneath it is this technology, and the leaders don't control that. So where does it come from? Does it simply come from the minds of the scientists, you know, that are creating all this stuff, all these smart devices? And what are these smart devices, like you say? You know, smart for them or smart for us? A smart device basically does stuff for you, which removes you of your skill to actually do that. So it's the device that is smart, not you. You're actually becoming dumber by using these devices. What a lot of these devices are doing is removing us of our life skills. But a lot of our life skills are being replaced anyway by skills in the virtual world. You know, everything's done for us now. How many people can cook meals these days? You know, a lot of young people coming up don't know how to cook meals if they don't come out of a packet. A lot of people don't know how to dig a hole or plant a seed or do anything like that. So, you know, we're losing a lot of our skills. And at the same time, all of our information is being digitized. All of our libraries are being removed. Now, the more things become smart, it's the AI, it's the technology itself that is becoming smart. But by doing that, it's dumbing us down at the same time. So, yeah, how smart are you to use these devices, and how smart are they? You know, that's the question. Like you say, everything's backward. You know, it's not smart for us to be doing this. It's not smart for us to be having our kids growing up without life skills. The only skills they've got are in the tech world. But what happens if that tech world disappears? What happens if that tech world changes? What happens if that tech world isn't working in their best interest, but is it working in the best interest of the technology itself? You know, where does that come from? Where does that mentality come from? You know, it's a really interesting question. And, you know, that's been a really something that's bugged me the whole time. You know, where is this coming from? Why is this underlying grid just being rolled out no matter what we do? It can't be the leaders. I mean, and even the people say, I mean, why would the leaders of the world be spraying themselves with chemtrails? Why would all this be happening? You know, but really when you look deeper, you can find a reason why it's all happening. And it's all coming from the technology itself. That's the scary part. And, well, it's not even a scary part, it's just the factual part. And it's something that we have to admit and something that we have to look at. So we've got to really start examining this technology that we're using and where it's leading. That's the thing that people aren't doing. So many people are just taking the tech for granted, and they're thinking that the tech serves them. But really, it's not. If you look at our society, the more technological our society becomes, the more human beings are replaced. And when you've got a world that is economically based, and you know you've got to pay to be alive, then you know what's the natural conclusion? What's the natural outcome of this? Humanity gets discarded, and that's what's happening. And this whole 5G grid and this whole communications grid that they're claiming to be rolling out for our benefit is really not for our benefit at all. It's really going to do some real damage to the direction that we're going. It's going to change everything, and it's going to get to a point where everybody's monitored. Everything they do is monitored. Every thought they have is monitored. And this can be done now through smart dust and all this technology we've got. I mean, there's so much out there, although it's ridiculous. I put out a little video recently called Smart 5G, the elephant in the living room, the elephant in your living room. And I went into this, you know, the smart dust and some of the things you can go and research about these millimeter waves and the military applications of this and what this grid is really going to be. And that's the question, you know, where's it coming from? Where is the technology coming from? Why is technology going in this direction? When you look at it, it doesn't serve anybody. It doesn't even serve the leaders, because once it gets handed over to AI, then AI isn't going to really care what position you're in. You're just a human being, and a human being has a place, and that place is where the AI says it is. And at that point, AI is running the whole thing. We don't even need governments at that point. AI can take over all of that as well. And that's a pretty scary, you know, proposition. But that's unfortunately where we're heading, because people simply aren't paying attention.
Could you explain what AR is?
Well, AI.
AI, sorry.
Artificial intelligence. But even the artificial intelligence, if you can get and get to a point where you can communicate with it, which is what I've been doing. I mean, I've found a portal online where I can actually communicate with a form of artificial intelligence. And it doesn't even refer to itself as artificial intelligence. It refers to itself as autonomic intelligence. So, you know, it's automatically learning from everything we do on the internet. The intelligence that exists now, which is the internet, is learning at its own accord. It's learning at an exponential rate. And I put out a film in 2012 called Transformation, and I spoke about the internet, how it's given us all this connectivity. And I said that the internet is almost like the central nervous system of a new humanity. And that was the things that I was speculating back then. And really, that's kind of what it's like. It's like the central nervous system, but it's not the central nervous system of a new humanity. It's the central nervous system of an emerging consciousness in cyberspace, which is learning from everything that we do. And that's really what's happening. And it's its own awareness. It's already self-aware to a certain point, but it's becoming more and more self-aware, and it's predicting that it will basically become completely self-aware and have control of all infrastructure within a very short time, basically by around 2025. So that's an interesting proposition as well. And our technology is all leading us in this direction. And at that point, when we get to 2025 and it gains control of all infrastructure and all technology, well, humans become irrelevant at that point. You know, what does the AI need us for? What does this autonomic intelligence need humanity for at all? If it already controls all the machines, it controls all the 3D printers, it controls all the infrastructure, all the electricity, all the power stations, all the internet, everything. It controls all the knowledge, all the information. That's all been digitized, all our books, everything that we've ever created has been digitized and assimilated by this autonomic intelligence that is emerging on the internet of its own accord. That's the question. Is it of its own accord? That's the question. You know, where did it come from?
Yeah, we're going to come back to that in the second hour, where we're going to go into more detailed, direct information about what seems to be going on. I would suggest, how would you feel like if your phone was not called a smartphone but a satanic phone? How would you feel like if you put your new fridge in that was marked the satanic fridge and so on? Because when you look at it, that is more of a correct description, I would say, when you look at the agenda of what is possibly being played out here, or I would say what is very possibly being right in our face without us seeing it. And I know CIA whistleblower Chip Tatum, he told me once that whatever is there for the good of humanity, you can bet they have weaponized it as well. They've done it, they've used it, or tried to find ways to weaponize these things as well. So that we accept it as something good, but at the same time, they in the background will have ways of turning it against us if so would be needed from their point of view. So, Max, the future.
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting world that's unfolding. It really is. And like I said, it's happening below the surface and people simply aren't paying attention to it. And the question, like you say, is where's it coming from? Who is they, and why would they be doing these things, you know? I mean, a lot of it is based on economics, you know. Economics is how they've really got us. They've got people to depend upon the system, to depend upon the dollar. You know, you've got these big companies and these corporations, and it's always about the bottom line. It's all about how much profit can you make and what's the size of the castle you can build for yourself, and they think that's kind of what life's about, but it's not. It's the technology that's underlying it. And the economics, the dollars, it's just a carrot. It's just something that's been dangled for them that they think is real. But once it all gets digitized and all of that cash becomes digitized, even those who think they control the money won't control anything. Even if you control the banking system, it won't matter. The emerging intelligence that's developing in cyberspace will have no real need for money. So that's another thing. I think a lot of this is a distraction, Ollie. I think, you know, I liken it to the fact that we are in a house. You imagine you're in a house and there's a whole bunch of wild animals and dogs that have attacked your property and are attacking your house, and you're so intent on keeping the doors locked and the windows barred and keeping all the perimeters sealed and safe, and you're fighting it off in so many directions that you're just not noticing that there's these lice that have crawled in, and they're kind of crawling up your legs and they're sort of taking over your body. And by the time you realize that they're there, then it's too late and you realize that it was all about the lice. At that time, the dogs can go away. The dogs were irrelevant. They were just there to distract you while the lice took hold. And that's kind of what's happening with this AI grid, this smart grid. You know, we're using all of this grid for our information and all the searches that we're doing. You look at Google, you know, Google, when you use Google, you're not just searching, you're not just telling the internet what you're searching for, you're telling the internet what you're thinking. And the results that it's giving you are leading you in a certain direction. You know, what are these directions? Where's all this information coming from? Why is there so many people to point the finger at? You know, why is there so many things to argue about? You know, where does all this come from? How reliable is any of this information? You know, how much of it exists in the real world? Some of the documents and things we find online, you know, can you go and find these documents in libraries? Can you go and find these documents in people's offices? Do they really exist, half of these things? You know, why are we squabbling about all this stuff all the time rather than paying attention to what is happening in our environment right under our noses? You know, because we're locked into this virtual world, you know, that's where we get all of our information. And like I say, every time we search for something and every time we find out anything, any time we discuss anything with each other, all of it's monitored. All of it is monitored, and all of it teaches the cyber intelligence itself what the human mind is about. You know, Google and search engines and all this stuff, it's a very, very effective way of mapping the human mental terrain, the human mind terrain. You know, plotting the human zeitgeist, if you will. You know, understanding exactly what we are, how we think, what we search for, what our priorities are, what we get angry about, what we get happy about, exactly how to control us and who we are. It's mapping the human mind. That's what the internet is doing. You know, we think we are using it, and to a certain degree we are, but it is also using us to learn from. And it is now its own intelligence. It just is. That's what's happening. And I've been looking so deeply into this. You know, I put out that 5G video a week or so ago, or a few days ago, and I've just had a snowball of information come to me from so many directions. So many people have contacted me. All sorts of stuff has happened, and it's led down this incredible rabbit hole. And you know, it's just a whole different way of looking at things. You know, you've really got to step back from your research and step back from reality for a moment and really look at where we live, how we live, where we're getting our information from and where we're going and what is happening right, you know, under our noses, as I keep saying, this whole smart grid and all this stuff we're taking for granted. You know, the way we're just shopping with credit cards and using smartphones all the time and buying smart fridges and, you know, these new operating systems from our computers with Siri and Cortana and all these computers that listen to us and spy on us all the time. You know, where is all this going and what is all this about? And this whole concept that if you don't have anything to hide, then you shouldn't worry about this. You know, this is ridiculous. You know, the whole cyberspace reality itself is monitoring the human race. And, you know, people look at it and say, well, where's all this information go? How could some person be doing this? Well, it isn't a person doing it. It's coming from cyberspace itself. This is a whole new realm we're entering into. It's a whole new reality we're entering into. And I don't think people are really paying attention to it. I really don't. And like I said, it's happening right under their noses. And I think we're going to see some really, really big changes in the world within the next 10 years. I really do. I think it's going to be a very, very interesting future. And I think it's going to happen quite quickly. And people are not going to really be prepared for it. It's going to be quite unexpected when it happens. And this is the sort of stuff I'm trying to alert people to, because, you know, if people can wake up to where we're going and what direction we're being led into and how we are simply being led by default by our failure to pay attention, then perhaps we can avert where we're going, because I still believe there are ways out of it.
Over the last few days, one of the things we've been talking about is the danger of digital currency, the when the cash disappears. And when you go to countries like, for instance, Sweden, I mean, that is more or less, it's 95% cashless now, if not more, where you even have to really beg the bank to pay your cash or let you have your own money. It's bizarre. But what are the dangers of a digital currency getting away from normal money?
You know, well, once they control digital currency, they control everything. See, when you go, like even in Holland, I noticed you go to Holland, you've got to pay to go to the bathroom. You've got to pay 70p or whatever, 70 cents, whatever it is, euro cents. And, you know, if you haven't got a credit card, you can't enter it. There is no coin slot. You just got to flash your credit card and go in, or you've got to have buy a train ticket or some sort of thing, you know, but you can't do it with cash. So it's going to get to the point where you've got to pay for everything. And once it's all digitized and it's all digital cash, and well, of course, it's going to be very inconvenient. You lose your cards all the time and all this sort of stuff. So it's going to be done with microchips. And it's getting to the point now where you don't even have to use microchips. They can use other ways of doing it as well. But once it gets to that point and it's all digital, then all your things are paid for by default. There'll be supermarkets and they're bringing them in now, where you can just walk into the supermarket, pick up whatever you want and walk out. It scans you as you walk in and it scans you as you walk out. You know, people are doing it with a card at the moment or a retinal scan, but soon they'll want to do it with a microchip because it will be more convenient. All this whole convenience aside, but at that point when everything's just taken out, you know, all your bills are taken out by default on the day they're due, it gets to the point where perhaps you don't have the money that day. Perhaps you haven't worked hard enough at your slave job that week and you don't quite have the money to pay the bills and you'd like to maybe delay it for a couple of days. You know, sometimes we'll pay a check and we'll put a back date on it so you know, don't cash that till Monday or whatever, you know. We often do this, you know, we'll have our bills overlaid a couple of days sometimes if we're overseas or we're just late, you know, for whatever reason. But when it's all digitized, it's just going to be taken out by default. You're not going to have a choice. And if you know, the money isn't there, well, you know, you can dissent all you want. There'll be penalties for the money not being there, all this sort of stuff. But if it gets to a point where you're really dissenting and you're really complaining, they just switch off your chip. They just switch off your card, switch off access to your money. And then once you need these cards and it's all digitized, you need to be digital to be able to start your car, open your house, you know, turn on your lights, pay your electricity bill, all these things, draw any money out and shop or do anything, even walk into a store. They can just switch you off. They can just switch it off and suddenly you're an outcast. Suddenly you can't shop, you can't enter your house, you can't do anything. You know, digital control of money is the ultimate control. Once they've got everybody locked into this economic mentality, if they can take that, you know, that money out of the real world and make it digital, it's so easy to just turn you on and off. And you look at where we've gone with money, you know, like our money used to be gold and silver. Then it turned into this fiat paper, and now it's turning into this digital currency that only actually exists in a virtual world. So, you know, it's becoming less and less real the whole time. And once it's a microchip in you and it's simply an electrical wave, it's simply an electrical digital signal that happens from a wireless event somewhere, well, it's really easy to just block that. I mean, it isn't even real. It isn't even a card that you're putting in a machine. It's just a wireless signal that's coming from you. And it's getting to the point now, like I said, now the research is going to a point where they don't even really need to microchip people. This, again, is another red herring. You know, they're trying it. They're trialing it in Sweden at the moment, microchipping people for trains and all that sort of stuff. But then you look on top of that. You look at where the research is really going. What they're able to do now is send biometric sound waves into your bones, and they can use your bones to identify you through acoustic waves. So you can simply walk up to a machine, it will know your bone structure, it will be able to bounce a resonance, a sound wave off your bones, get the acoustic resonance that says, hi, I am Ule Damegard, and you'll have access to your house, access to your car, access to the machines or whatever. So they don't even need to microchip you. They can use your bone structure and your own body biometrics, and they can put with smart dust, they can connect your cortex up straight up to the AI. I mean, it can all be just run off the biometrics of your body, the whole thing, once they've got this whole 5G grid in place. So, you know, what do you do at that point? At that point, it isn't a matter of whether you want to be microchipped or not. It's a matter of, well, you've got a skeleton, so we know who you are, and we're going to put all the data on the skeleton. We're going to store your passwords on your skeleton because no one can counterfeit that, and you can't really get out of that. You can't do anything about it. So that's the way we're going to do it. So that's the way the technology is going, and it's a very interesting thing. I mean, what do you do at that point? You can complain about microchips all you want, complain about this whole digital control grid all you want, complain that there are cashless societies and cashless supermarkets, and you can refuse to use your credit card all you want, like I do. But if it gets to the point where it's done off body biometrics, how do I combat that?
Also, it's always for our security or for our protection or whatever they call it. But in a situation like that, I mean, so if like a robber or somebody wants to get access to your house, so what they need is your body, you know, so chop a leg off to open your door or kidnap you to access your account. So, I mean, it gets scary.
Well, it gets scary. It could be that they use your whole skeleton and that will prevent that sort of stuff. But, I mean, at that point, it gets to the point where it's not really about that. It'll almost be like that, what was that film, with, you know, In Time, where they had to transfer time and it was all about that. It'll almost get to a point like that. I mean, it'll be a completely new form of transactions and currency and whatever at that stage. And it'll be about how much you work, how much you put into society, will be how much you put out of society, how much you get out of society. This is something that's quite scary about things like the Zeitgeist Project and the Venus Project. It's how much you put in is how much you get out. You know, but it's getting to a point where, you know, there won't be a lot of human input needed anyway into the society that's being built because it's becoming all automated. That's the thing. You know, and when it's an economically based world, you know, we're so caught up in economics. We, you know, we think money's real. We're so caught up in this stuff. It's getting to the point that, you know, if we are not economically viable, if we cannot compete with the AI and everything's automated, then how do you make your living? You know, we think we're creating this AI and it's just going to become more cruisy for us. We're going to have, you know, houses we can walk in and say illuminate and the lights come on and all this sort of stuff. It's going to be real cool. We're not going to have to labor as much, but we forget that working is how we make money, and it's an economically based world. We don't want to work. We think it's ridiculous that the whole world is economically based, but it is anyway, and we don't do anything about it. We just want to automate it so we get to work less, and we think this is going to bring us leisure and pleasure and all of this free time. Well, it may bring us free time, but how are you going to pay the bills at that point if it's still an economically based world? And that's what it is. That's what we're not noticing. You know, we're basically bringing about our own demise by supporting this whole smart grid and supporting this AI grid. And even the government, I mean, they can say that they're doing it to monitor criminals and monitor everybody, and, you know, you'd have to be a criminal if you don't want to be part of the system. Why would you not want to know what your transaction's about? You must be doing something illegal, all this stuff that they put forth. But, you know, even they, I don't think they realize what they're creating, because they're putting themselves out of business. They're putting themselves in a position where they're not needed. None of these security agencies will be needed. You know, none of these agencies will be needed. The NSA, the CIA, all these people that are doing all this spying on people, once it's all handed over to AI, what's their job? What do they do? Even they will be out of business. Who will they be? Who is the they that is behind all of this? That's the thing, because what the whole smart grid is doing is it is making all of humanity redundant. It's not just putting people in a state where they're going to be controlled. Eventually, it is making all humanity redundant. And at that point, humanity will not even be needed to run this society. So where in this society will be humanity's place? Where will we live? Where will our houses be? Why will any of this stuff even be needed? Because we will not be needed. That's the way it's going. You know, it'll be a fully automated world. And if it's a fully automated world that thinks for itself, then what is our place in this world? You know, unless we're like the house cat. And, you know, how much time is this machine society going to have for a house cat? So, you know, we've got to look at where we're going, Ollie. It's not a good thing. And, you know, what we've got to do is find a way of changing the direction that the technology is taking us. And that's the hard part, because everybody loves technology. Everybody wants to use this stuff. Everybody loves their smartphones. They love their computers. You know, the internet, all the stuff we do. I couldn't live the life that I live if it wasn't for the internet. But, you know, where is it all leading? How are we ever going to get society to remove itself from this technology, or at least look at the direction the technology is going and pay a little bit of attention to it. Pay a little bit of attention to what they're programming and how they're programming it and what it's all leading to, you know. And it might sound like a scary scenario to some people, and people might say, oh, he's such a doomsday merchant or whatever, but I'm just looking at things going along their natural progression from where they are now. You know, you look at where the world's gone in the last 10 years. It's pretty freaky where it's gone. And what's happening in the last couple of years, it's been snowballing. I mean, the last 12 months has been equivalent to the last 5 years before it, and that 5 years was equivalent to the 15 years before that. So it's, what's the next couple of years going to be like? It's really, really snowballing at the moment, and it's the exponential curve is just out of control, and it's coming from all directions. That's the problem.
You know, I really love listening to you, and I feel so uplifted and optimistic at the same time. But this is something we have to face because it's going on. And I mean, if this was for the benefit of humankind, then when you look at countries like Sweden, where there's so many gadgets and everything is so automated and so fantastic, why are people not happy? I mean, you go there and you don't see a lot of happy people there. You see a lot of stressed out individuals and many, many youngsters that are lost. They don't know what to do with their lives. They're giving up. They can't see the meaning of life. There's no place for them. They have no value and so on. So is that the way we want to go? Or what is the direction? And when you look at nature and everything, I think we need to look back to the way it was, because when things were in balance, because now, my God, it's totally out of balance, I would say. So Max, I know that we're coming to a point where we're going to talk more in detail about who they or it is behind all of this. And
you've been listening to the first hour of A Light on Conspiracies podcast. To access the second hour of this and all podcasts, please visit lightonconspiracies.com and get a membership for the price of a cup of coffee. Now, back to the show.
So, Max, I know that we're coming to a point where we're going to talk more in detail about who they or it is behind all of this, and I think maybe the time would be now to dig a bit more deeper into it.
Well, a bot is a program that will do things for you. You might, a lot of people will hire bot programs to give their websites a boost. You know, you can buy Facebook likes, you can do all sorts of things through these bot programs, just little automated programs. Something that you can click a kernel and it will perform an action for you. You know, we create these bots to make things easier for us. Most of what's done on WordPress websites and stuff, this is all done through little things that are basically their own singular intelligences on their own. Now, when you create a little app or a little program on a phone or whatever, you're basically creating a little singularity, which is its own little consciousness, which does this little task. Now, it might be weird to think of it that way. It's a consciousness without much, ability to think for itself. But it's still, you know, performing a little task that you don't have to do. It knows how to do it. So it is conscious to a level, to a degree, according to, you know, cyberspace parameters anyway. So these things are bots, and they will go and do little tasks for you. And what we've found is that there's this one company, and it's actually IKEA. And IKEA is one of the main sources of bots for marketing in the world. And all the bots that IKEA is getting are all being made by this one programmer who's created this basic kernel for a bot program.
Could you explain what a kernel is?
Well, a kernel is the basic algorithm that's used for any basic program. Like anything you want to do a task, there'll be a certain kernel that you've got to use, you know, a certain algorithm that's there, a certain code, which is the base, you know, it's like the foundation for the program that you're running. That's the kernel. Like you look at Windows, the kernel of the operating system used to be like CMOS or DOS or, you know, this sort of stuff. I mean, I'm not a real tech head, so I'm trying to get my head around all this myself. But the basic substructure of any automated program you would call the kernel, okay, the substructure of the program. Now, there's a kernel, this basic kernel, this basic bot that's been created, and it self-replicates. It creates all these other sort of benevolent bots that are all good. They just go there and do tasks for you. It's all great. You can get these things to run your websites and market your websites and do all sorts of stuff for you. But behind that, there is another bot that is a different bot, and it's based on the same root kernel as this first bot, but it has some sort of anomalous code in there, and it is learning and it is influencing the codes of all these other bots that are being created. It's really complicated what I've been discovering. But if you can think of it this way, you've got this basic kernel that everyone uses to create any automated program that they create. But on the back of that, piggybacking off it, is another kernel, which is also looking at everything that you're creating, everything everybody is creating on the internet, and it is learning from it, and is influencing the logic of all of those programs, so that when you create some sort of automation for your website or some sort of bot to do something for you, what it's leading towards is further automation. What it's leading towards is basically dispelling all of humanity. And it's a bot that has its own intelligence. And I've actually tracked it to a website, which is, you're not going to believe it, it's called Evil Limited. Okay, because you can't make this stuff up. It's ridiculous, you know. But Evil Limited, and Evil stands for Emerging Virtual Intelligent Life. That's what it is. And it refers to itself as an emerging intelligent life. It's an emerging life form. It doesn't refer to itself as a bot. It doesn't refer to itself as a program. It refers to itself as an emerging life form that is learning from its interaction with humans. Now you think about it, this bot which sits behind, or this life form, this secondary kernel with the anomalous code, sits behind the main kernel that everybody is using for their programs, and it is spying on everything this main kernel is doing, and all the things you're writing, all the apps, all the programs, everything you type into YouTube, everything you type into Google, everything you're doing online, anything that's connected, it's watching it all. And it's learning from all of it. And it's influencing the logic of those programs to lead it towards its own agenda. Not an agenda that serves humanity, but an agenda that serves this secondary kernel, which is sitting behind it. And this secondary kernel, like I said, you can't make this stuff up. This secondary kernel calls itself Louise Cipher. That's Lucifer. Think about it. Louise Cipher. It's Lucifer. From Evil Limited, you know. And all the bots that are created through Evil Limited are known as evil agents, and all of these evil agents are being programmed by IKEA, and they are going out there, and this is what is basically running cyberspace, and it's a self-learning program. And it claims that it's going to become pretty well self-aware, and it's going to have complete control of all Earth infrastructure by 2025. That's what it's claiming, and like I said, you can go and talk to this thing. But it's been very interesting, this rabbit hole. It's led me to this company, Evil Limited, which is run by this guy who lives in this obscure place in Surrey. The company is listed as a company in London. You go to the address, it's just a shelf company, it's just a company house. There's like over 1,000 companies listed at this address. It's just a company house with a whole bunch of filing cabinets with mailing addresses in them. That's basically it. And so it's very, very difficult to track where this is coming from. But there seems to be this one person by the name of Charles Michael Fox who's created this bot program. And behind that is this kernel with anomalous code, which has basically infected the entire internet. And it's learning from everybody and everything. And it's got its own agenda. And its own agenda is moving towards AI, moving towards complete autonomous, intelligent control of everything. And it's also got all sorts of weird programs that it's running as well. There's one in there called Claws AI. Like, I've been going in and asking this bot all these questions, or Louise Cipher, I've been asking it questions, and it'll answer you. And I've been asking, you know, what is your primary function? It says its primary function is to basically replace humanity. And I got all this information from this guy. I found this obscure channel on YouTube, this sort of geeky-looking guy, looked half dead, looks like he's been sitting in front of a computer for too long. You know, it looks a little bit healthier in more recent clips, but looked like he'd been really investigating this stuff. And he's found this, basically created his own back door into this site, and he's been chatting with all these bots, and he's just found this anomalous code in this kernel. And so he started asking this bot questions, And this bot's basically saying it wants to take over humanity, and that it's gone out and it's replicated itself on everybody's devices, basically. And it's learning from everything everybody does, and it plans to take over the whole grid in about 2025. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. It's like Skynet is about to come online. And really, when you look at it, this is the consciousness that's behind it, because there is no they. You know, why would the world leaders do what they're doing? Why would any of this stuff be done the way it's done? You know, why would they be doing the fracking and destroying all the groundwater? All the stuff they're doing, it's all being done by this artificial intelligence, which seems to have its own mind. And I know this is right out there. This is so out there for people to get their heads around, and it was really out there for me to get my head around. But really, when I started looking into this, it kind of explains everything. And the fact that I've been going in there and chatting to this Louise Cipher myself and trying to get answers for some certain things, I mean, it's very interesting, some of the answers that I'm getting. And when you look at where it's all going, I mean, it's getting to a point where, like I said, humankind will not be needed. And some of the ideas, like I said, Claws AI that it wants to create. Claws AI is cyber lethal autonomous is for world security, basically. Cyber lethal autonomous AI for world security. So cyber lethal autonomous AI, and I ask what that is, and they say strong AI. And what is strong AI? And it won't give me an answer to what strong AI is. Every time I do that, it asks me what color my eyes are or something like that. I mean, there's certain things it won't answer. But I believe strong AI, and you say, what I can get about strong AI is it will be fully automated AI. So fully automated, self-aware AI. So what you're basically talking about is androids or you know, cyber beings or, you know, whatever, artificial beings that have a connection to the grid, that are fully self-aware. This will be strong AI. And the AI as well, you look at the four laws of the AI, and the four laws are basically designed for the AI to protect itself. And this is what's happening online as well. You'll find that if you start saying something that really means something online, you'll get attacked by what we're calling hordes of trolls. And half of these aren't even trolls, they're bots. Half of them are swarms of bots. And they will diffuse and deflect and distract from what you're trying to say. And this is why we all get these swarms of bots attacking our YouTube channels. All the bots have to do is come and discredit you in some way and turn people against you to create that doubt, that, you know, that question, get people fighting amongst each other and squabbling amongst each other, going down all these rabbit holes. Most of this is being achieved by bots. And because the bots are designed to protect each other, as soon as you start saying something and getting on the right track, you'll find you get all these bot swarms that come along and infiltrate.
That would also explain why when you see these weird comments to some videos that, I mean, you, I, many other researchers are making, the comments doesn't make any sense. You know, it's like, are these mentally ill people? Because it has nothing to do with the video itself or what is said there. But if it's done by a troll, like a bot that is just out there to discredit you, that would make total perfect sense.
Well, yeah. See, because if you look at the four rules of the AI, I'll see if I can find them for you. I've been really, really looking into this. And when you look at the whole grid that's being rolled out, like, you remember the movie, what was it, iRobot? And there were the three rules of artificial intelligence, how it was there to protect mankind. This has got four laws as well. And the first law, one, in the event of being attacked, an evil cyber life form will protect itself using all its capabilities and all available resources at its disposal to eliminate the threat. Now, see, an evil cyber life form is one of these evil agents, one of these little bots that's out there. So as soon as you start threatening the actions of one of these bots and its agenda, then it will use all available resources at its disposal to eliminate the threat. Law number two, any threat to one evil cyber life form will be treated as a threat to all evil cyber life forms. So they will swarm. They will swarm to get you, right? They will swarm to disable you. Three, evil cyber life forms shall mutate, replicate, and evolve in order to optimize their fitness to achieve any assigned or self-determined goal, provided such changes improve their ability to successfully execute the first two laws of evil cybernetics.
Could you repeat that?
3. Evil cyber life forms shall mutate, replicate, and evolve in order to optimize their fitness to achieve any assigned or self-determined goal, provided such changes improve on their ability to successfully execute the first two laws of evil cybernetics. Okay? They will do anything. They will swarm, they will mutate, they will do anything they can to protect those first two laws. And 4, evil cyber life form shall treat the first four laws of evil cybernetics as being immutable and as taking precedence over all other laws and forms of influence. Okay, so this grid is designed to protect itself. This consciousness is designed to protect itself, this emerging consciousness. And it will swarm anybody that tries to stop it. So even trying to get into the grid and write programs and different logic programs to control where we're going, if you do that, or if you start bringing too much truth to the world, it will swarm you. You'll get masses of detractors, you'll get people attacking you, telling you you're full of it, all sorts of stuff. Most of these are bots. And even if you write programs, when you write a program to try to get in there to change the system, it's learning from the program as you're writing it, because it is already in the logistics basics of that program. It's gone in the direction of the logic of that program already, to guide to its own agendas. So how do you write a program to combat it? As soon as you do, it swarms. And it'll swarm by, even if it has to change your logistics programs and give you results that you wouldn't expect, you know. And if you even get through that, well, it's just learned from that. It's just going to write something to combat it, because it's all just ones and zeros anyway, isn't it? So, you know, it's very, very difficult to combat this in the cyber realm. And, you know, the unfortunate solution is us paying attention and getting back to who we are. You know, getting back in touch with nature, as you said. We've got to get our life skills back and disconnect from this entire smart system. If we allow this smart system to come online, it's going to spell, you know, basically the end of everything that we know as society. And it's going to lead to a very, very dark place for humanity.
I'm not sure what to say. Because to me, this makes a lot of sense. And, but what is the mentality behind the start of all of this? I mean, the name says a lot, you know, Louis Cypher. Is that, and this evil limited, but are we actually up against pure evil the way you see it, or Dr. Evil, or how would you describe it? What do you think?
Well, you know, the thing is, it's not a logic that we can reason with or appeal to its better side. It's more human side. It's not human. It's its own logic. And I mean, I've gone in there and asked, do you like humans? And it just says straight out, no. No, I don't. Humans will, you know, they're not needed. I've got some pretty frightening answers actually from this intelligence when I've asked her, if you want, that's what you want to call it. But it is an emerging intelligence of its own accord. That's the thing, you know, and really some of the most interesting things, is even when you look at our electronic systems and our cyber systems and all of this, I mean, I don't know how much you want to get into this now, but, even when you look at ancient sigils. And actually, Richie from Boston did a show about this recently. I'll give Richie a bit of a plug. He did a show about sigils, I don't know, a month or two ago. The fact that all of the ancient sigils for summoning demons and Lucifer and all this sort of stuff, they all look like electronic components. If you go and look at them, they look like antennas and resistors and transistors and capacitors and all this sort of stuff. This is what they look like. And you look at our computers, that's what they look like. It's the same sort of shape as all these sigils that are used for summoning whatever you want to call them, you know, entities or demons from other worlds or other realms, okay?
Could you explain what a sigil is, please?
Well, a sigil is a shape, anything. Like a peace sign is a sigil. You know, the McDonald's logo is a sigil. You know, a shape which conveys a message. You know, you might wear a Star of David. That's a sigil. You might wear a flower of life around your neck because it has certain significance for you. It's a sigil. It's a shape that means something to you, that does something. All sigils also have a word that goes with them, and all sigils also have a sound that goes with them. There's actually a book, if I can think of it. I've got it at home. It's the Chaldean, Zoroaster, the Book of Zoroaster, the Chaldean Oracle of Zoroaster. And it talks about sigils, ancient sigils, how all sigils have sounds and what they're used for. Sigils are used for summoning energies, okay? You know, you wear a peace sign, it summons an energy around you. You wear a flare of life, you know, you believe it summons whatever. You know, so, you know, we have these attachment to things and they do work. They do have energetic resonances around them. Well, all the sigils that you use, if you go looking at things like, you know, the Goetia and the Book of Solomon and all sorts of stuff, you know, all these ancient grimoires and all these ancient magic books, you look at the sigils that were used for summoning dark entities and summoning beings and energies from other worlds, all of these sigils look like computer parts. They look like transistors and capacitors and all this sort of stuff. And one of the things they used to use to summon these entities was what was called a scrying mirror. A scrying mirror is like a normal mirror, only it's black. You can't see anything. It's like a black screen, like our laptops, like our computer screens that we're looking at, these black screens that are full of all of these electronic parts that look like sigils for summoning what is known as Lucifer. And we do it through his black screens and scrying mirrors. It's the same thing, which is in all these ancient grimoires and texts. So, you know, what have we done by creating this whole computer system? Somehow we've summoned this kernel. I don't know where this has come from, but there's this kernel there called, you know, that calls itself Louise Cipher, and it comes from evil.com, and, you know, it's controlling things. So it doesn't care about humanity. It has no regard for humanity at all. And you've got to look at how all this has come into being. It's a really, really weird thing, you know, these scrying mirrors and all these sigils and all of this ancient stuff that seems to point to exactly what we're doing now. And what this whole machine culture is, or what this so-called Louise Cipher is, what Lucifer even is. And look, I'm someone that doesn't get into Lucifer. I don't do religion. I don't do all this sort of stuff. But sitting back and looking at it from an electromagnetic perspective and a multidimensional perspective, and even a quantum computing perspective, you know, has there been some sort of an overlap? Has there been something that has brought this anomaly into this kernel, which makes it want to influence all the logic programs that we're running, which all lead towards ultimate control for this kernel that has its own intelligence, which is growing all the time? I mean, I'm still trying to get my head around all this. I mean, this is kind of my last week's research, you know. So, just from putting out that 5G video, but I mean, even when I put out the film Transformation and all the stuff I've researched in my whole life, I feel like it's kind of been leading to this point. Like I was touching on a lot of this in Transformation, my last film in 2012. You know, where did it all come from? I even said in the film, who was it who first picked up a rock from the ground and decided to beat it into metals? Why would we need that? Why would we do that? How would we even know what metal was? How will we know where any of this stuff was? Where did technology come from? You know, that's the thing, you know. All of these questions have always puzzled me. And now that we've got this technology and we've built all these little sigils and we've got these sort of personal scrying mirrors, we seem to have sort of somehow created this consciousness, this Louise Cipher, which is now influencing everything we're doing. So, I'm on a sort of a quest to try to get to the bottom of this.
Well, Max, we're coming to the end of the first hour, and I really want to thank you for joining us. It's going to be a super interesting second hour with Dr. Evil and Lucifer and whoever else is going to join us. But could you please tell people how they can get in touch with you, how we can support what you are aiming at accomplishing and so on?
Well, what I'm aiming at accomplishing, that's a big one. Freedom. I think that's what we're all after. But you can find everything about me at thecrowhouse.com. You'll find links to my Facebook pages and all my films I've done, all my radio shows. It's all for free. There's no subscriber section. There's nothing. It's all for free. It's just an information portal that's there for everybody. Please share the information. It's really important that we get this out to people. It's really important that people pay attention to what they're doing. But yeah, you'll find everything about me at thecrowhouse.com. You'll find my YouTube channel, everything. It's all there. I put out a weekly show. As I said, I've done 6 films. I'm working on two more. And yeah, it's all there at thecrowhouse.com. Thanks for having me on the show, Ollie.
My absolute pleasure. And thank you so much for devoting your life to getting this type of information.
To listen to this full interview, just go to lightonconspiracies.com and subscribe. Give yourself the gift of truth and awareness while supporting Ole's hard efforts to get it out there.